my song. Let's sing it. It's gonna be freaking awesome. Come on, it's gonna be freaking awesome. You know the words. It's gonna be freaking awesome. That's it, say. It's gonna be freaking awesome.
Gonna be freaking awesome, my friends. It is sharing this time with you, the coolest geeks alive, and me, the coolest geek alive. Oh my god, I'm coming in hot today because I know you thought that I was going to continue my list of the 50 greatest geek culture classics of all time, but I'm calling an audible. I cannot resist speaking about the crazy calamity that is The Flash. I don't know if you guys have heard yet, but holy crap, it's bombing. It bombed over the weekend. I was shocked. I don't know, when I saw that Super Bowl spot, I thought, this might shape up to still have people interested despite so many things that are working against it. Now, this movie was announced in 2014, and now it's 2023. So it's taken 10 years for us to see it. And it was announced in 2014 that it was going to release March 23rd, 2018. And it was changed perhaps a half a dozen times. So, oh my goodness, this is crazy. This movie's finally out, and what a long story it has. And if you haven't been paying close attention, or even if you have been paying close attention, there's so much, you might have missed something, and I'm going to go over it at great length. The Flash, $55.7 million is what it made at the box office. The projections were that it was going to make $70. And those projections were very disappointing, okay? That 70, especially after the reaction on Twitter and all this stuff, they use this as metrics for thinking, you know, how people are going to react to or actually show up to see a film. And it seemed positive, but people have not actually shown up. Not only are we adjusting down to this 70 million projection, it didn't even come in. It came in 55.7 million, even though the theaters by me were pretty packed. I want to break down this failure here because, honestly, I thought that it had a chance, but I honestly had given up on it long ago on many different levels for all of these problems I'm going to tell you about. But the first thing I want to talk about is the shared experience. What color is Wonder Woman's hair? Imagine it in your mind. Wonder Woman. See what Wonder Woman brings to your mind. What color is her hair? It is black, right? What color is Bruce Wayne's hair? It's black, right? Superman's hair also happens to be black, that black blue. Okay. What color is the Flash's hair? Now, depending on who you are, you may be bringing to mind many different things. But if we want to go into the comics, the original Flash, who wore like a bowl on his head, I think he was blonde as well. The Flash, Barry Allen, is blonde. He was always blonde. He's a blonde guy. Okay? He's got blonde hair. That's the Flash. That's what you expect to see. And you're talking about Barry Allen Flash. It's a blonde guy. Now, a lot of people are more like me who grew up with Wally West. I actually named my child Cassidy West after Wally West. That's how much I love that character. Now, the most pivotal moment in the DC Comics narrative universe is called Crisis on Infinite Earths. And it's pivotal because it's essentially the beginning of an interconnected universe. It's the beginning of serialized storytelling that intermingles with each other. There was a little bit of this going on prior to that, but worlds were crossing. Literally, the JSA and the Justice League were from different universes, and they would have to like cross over and visit each other's Earths. But not anymore, not after Crisis on Infinite Earths. Crisis on Infinite Earths was a big storyline, the first like that combined all of the main characters from all the titles that DC was publishing at the time, put them into one book, and a lot of major things happened here. But ultimately what happened was all of the many universes and continuities of these individual titles were collected into one singular continuity that would make them all exist together on one universe. It's supposed to be that the Batman of the Batman comics is the same Batman that you see in the Justice League, is the same Superman in the Justice League as the same Superman in the Superman comics. So when something happens in the Superman comic, it means a change in the Justice League. It might affect Batman. It affects the universe. Okay? So the Flash, Barry Allen, the blonde guy, he dies in the Crisis on Infinite Earths. He dies. It's the most pivotal and important moment of the story, next to also Supergirl dying, which was very quickly changed. But Barry Allen died, and he was dead for a long time, about 25 or so years. And this is the 25 or so years where we are having the most, like, the renaissance of writing in comic books, especially at DC. The most pivotal stories are being written, and they don't feature Barry Allen. In fact, not only do they not feature Barry Allen, they sort of hinge upon Barry Allen being dead. Barry Allen's death becomes a larger feature of the story of the DC comic book universe in general, because it has meaning to Superman and Batman and the characters who are on the Justice League with him. And even more important, it has meaning to Wally West, who has basically dedicated his life to living up to his uncle's legacy and being a hero as great as he was. And that is a story worth telling. That is a lot of pressure to be putting on yourself. That's really fun. One of the most fun things about the Flash comic book, too, is his villains. People talk about Batman's rogue gallery or Spider-Man's rogue gallery. I never really liked Spider-Man's rogue gallery. Spider-Man's rogue gallery is just a bunch of animals, you know, outside of the Green Goblin, who I never really super cared for either. I've never been a huge Spider-Man fan myself. I know most people, it's their favorite character. But because Spider-Man's so popular, too, I tend to shy away from the popular things. So, you know, I'm probably just being a cocky prick, and I don't want to like the thing everybody likes. But that character, I'm not drawn to as much. But the Flash, who is very much the Wally West Flash, he's very much the Peter Parker of the DC Universe. And that is another very important reason why he's such a pivotal character and important to the DC Universe. And it was a bad idea to switch away from him. The Flash's hair is red for me because it's Wally West. And this Flash in this movie, he has black hair. And that's not Barry Allen. And that's not Wally West. And you might make an argument that he acts like Wally West, but it's sort of a nebbish, non-confident Wally West. Like, Wally West is smart and quick and sharp. He's very fast because he can think so fast. He can have the right answer. He's very funny, and he can be a great funny character, but he's not funny at his expense. It's not constant bumbling. And this guy's a bumbler, and it's okay. I did enjoy it, and it was fun, but I do think that the Flash as a bumbler is less useful and worthwhile than the Flash as a meaningfully funny and sharp, fast character. That's the Flash that I know from the comics. Yeah, he's funny because he's sharp, not because he's stupid. And this guy in this movie is definitely a little stupid funny. And again, Barry Allen was never really funny. Barry Allen was dead. He was brought back in the comics just a few years before this movie was announced and the Justice League and this whole universe or whatever. And they decided to pivot to Barry Allen after 25 years of all the most major stories being about Wally West, the redheaded kid who's a former Teen Titan, and he's trying to be on the Justice League with the big leagues, and he's living up to Barry's legacy. Uncle Barry, just like Peter has his Uncle Ben, Wally had his Uncle Barry, and he was dead, and it was this Crisis on Infinite Earths moment. To not give Barry Allen his own thing is going to water down a future where we might be able to get Wally West. So all these things are a little difficult for me to swallow as a huge Flash fan. But all these things said, the Flash was pretty good. Are we having the same shared experience? People like my daughter, who grew up watching Grant Gustin on the Flash television series, where again, now his hair is brown. So if you get turned onto the movie, it's black. Turned onto the comics, it's blonde. You grow up with Wally West, it's red and brown. This really dilutes the shared experience that we should all be having. I would love to see these things brought into alignment with this vision we have in our heads. I think they wouldn't dare change Wonder Woman's hair color because they know how iconic it is. But underneath a cowl of the Flash, they're like, ah, well, whatever. But no, like... When the dude takes off his mask in the movie a bunch of times, and I didn't realize this until I left the film afterwards, because I really liked it, but as time went on with it, I liked it less, and I ended up giving it like a 7.5 for me out of 10. It started out as maybe an 8 or an 8.5, you know, room to go up, and a lot of things didn't quite satisfy me. But you remember, you know me, I'm a tough audience on this stuff, especially just because I believe that the extreme circumstances of fantasy and science fiction worlds, they have the ability to teach us things that are very subtle in your ordinary day drama and are boring in a everyday drama, but are really exciting and fun when you can do it on a science fiction big budget scale, you know, whether it's in a comic book or a novel or on the big screen. It's just a way better way to learn hard lessons and way more fun. It takes the sting off of how hard these lessons are. It's an alien thing. This is another world. But you can still cathartically go through these tough times with these people. And I believe the genre has a lot of value for people's souls. And I'm a spiritual guy who believes in healing the spirit. I've dealt with a lot of body pain my whole life. And I was an atheist for most of my youth. I've come to really understand that you need chicken soup for the soul more than anything. And it's always any problem that you might have. It's certainly not being helped by the fact that your soul is not in the right place and you don't have a positive mental attitude, as my father might say. That was what I was taught for a long time. PMA, positive mental attitude. I know there's a punk band I just found out has the same mantra, but I have it tattooed on my body, positive mental attitude. And even me, somebody who was raised with, I'm going to have a positive mental attitude, I've found myself fighting with not having the right attitude and not being able to do these things. And seeing these extreme circumstances play out, if they can do it, I'm going to try to, you know, I can be a hero. I can be stronger. These are motivational stories. The premises are so huge that it makes your petty problems, it puts them all in perspective and makes them tiny. And I think that's really valuable for everybody. And, you know, I think even the worst of this material probably does that to some degree. But when the material is handled really, really exceptionally, it just goes to the next level. So, is that a shared experience? I don't know. What's Supergirl's hair color? For me, for most people, it's blonde. I don't know who this dark-haired chick is. She was fine. I don't care, though. I don't care. It doesn't mean anything to me. Like if you're gonna buy the intellectual property that has the things that I like, and you have an opportunity to show me one of the things that I like, do it. Oh my God. The idea that they were gonna create creating a new trifecta, because Wonder Woman was successful, but they were gonna introduce Batgirl, which they ended up shelving completely, and they were gonna introduce Supergirl in this movie, and they were gonna be the new trifecta of the DC universe. Okay, that's never been done in the comics. There's no precedent for that. I don't really love that idea at all. But then also you make the Supergirl's hair black? What? Who cares? I don't care. I don't care about your stupid thing. I just don't. I don't care at all. I don't care at all. And why should anybody? And please, I am a Supergirl reader. I have literally read hundreds of issues featuring Supergirl as the lead character. I'm not some sexist dude sitting here going, "Oh, good." Like, no, man. I'm a fan of Supergirl. This is bullcrap. I don't like it. It's just so silly. I love Supergirl. That's not Supergirl, and I don't care about her. So, you know, who cares that it's a good performance? Who cares that, like, she looks all right? I just don't care. I don't care. I don't know how many times. I feel like I need to say it. I feel like somebody needs to hear how much I don't care. I don't care. Don't care about that lady. Don't care about, that's not Supergirl. So Barry's death was such a linchpin of everything that the DC universe is based upon. I mean, making an adaptation of Crisis on Infinite Earths after introducing all the characters in origin films is probably the best way to go to set up a DC universe of films and then try to do some things in the order that they do them in. And if you need more diverse characters, make some new ones. All right, so comic book, The Flash history time. Geoff Johns was a relatively unknown writer who I was following. I follow great writers. I was just always looking for writers. And whoever it was that I thought they could tell a good story, anything they wrote, I would go by. And I got turned on to Geoff Johns fairly early. And I think I missed maybe the first bits of his Flash run and I had to go back. But his Flash run was about Wally West. This is the reason why I love Wally West. His run, the rogues gallery of the Flash. It's just incredible. Spider-Man should be ashamed of himself. They're all interesting and kind of science fiction based and super fun. Seeing the Flash have to be smart about taking all these guys down in various ways and them almost like street gangs grouping together and going after him, the rogues. There's just so many cool characters. And Geoff Johns did an amazing job. He was working with this guy, Scott Collins, and then later Ethan Van Sciver. And everything that they did on this book was just golden and lovely. And it made my life for a while. I looked forward to reading this book every month. I would get a new copy of The Flash in my hand. And I was like, oh my God, I'm so excited. And they gave so much character to the bad guys. And it's amazing. It's so frustrating that this movie is The Flash, even though I totally respect and understand why everybody really likes it as much as they do. And probably going to end up sounding like I'm shit talking the movie a lot. But it's really it's such a loaded question. What do you think of this? Oh my God, I think so many things about this because of what they've done here, how they've rolled this out in such a strange way for the fans. So Wally West is the Flash for 25 years of the most important comics, and then they bring back Barry with a storyline written by Geoff Johns, and you know, this is mandates from the top to bring back Barry, and all of a sudden Wally becomes a sidekick after years of not being a sidekick, and the fans falling in love with him, and the only people really remembering Barry being Golden Age comic fans who grew up with him as a kid. And I want to add to this that DC Comics had almost lost Geoff Johns as a writer to Marvel Comics because nobody was paying attention to this rising star they had on their hands. He was so good. He was writing this incredible run, and the sales are going up and up and up every month. And it tends to be unheard of that sales for a comic book steadily rise. That's The Walking Dead's claim to fame, is it's like one of these books that just literally just kept going up, wouldn't stop rising. And Geoff Johns' Flash was just like that. And they almost lost him to Marvel. And when they got him back, they started taking him way more seriously. So when they put him back onto the Flash, instead of having him come to the Flash and continue doing what he was doing, they're like, let's bring back Barry Allen. And man, this was not a good idea. I wish they never made him do this. He sunk his wonderful creative mind into a enterprise that was foolhardy, to say the least. Barry Allen was a great linchpin to the DC universe as a dead man. As a living person, he literally just made a whole bunch of other things redundant, the least of which was himself, which was half the reason why he was killed in the first place, because he himself was redundant. Okay? And Barry's just a little bit too much like a mix between Superman and Batman. He was like always really like clean cut guy like Superman was, but he was like Batman, that he was a detective. And Wally was a little bit more like Spider-Man. He was fun and carefree, and he had a real purpose, a with great power comes great responsibility kind of thing that was driving him, and that endeared you to him all the time. And he was great on any team because he was a comic relief, and he was lighthearted, and he was also real and down to earth. Really great. They bring back Barry in the Flash Rebirth, rewriting his whole story to this "my mom died and my dad was framed for it" narrative. And then within a few years, they are adapting that to the TV series and to setting up Barry in the film universe with this exact same origin that he had, that he has in the film. But this is a new origin for him. This is not an origin that's familiar to people who are old school fans of Barry Allen. Which is his mother being killed. You don't know why that is. I don't want to spoil it for anybody. And you don't find out in this film. But it has some sensational reasons for all this stuff having happened. Time travel sort of hijinks. And honestly, all this time travel hijinks and stuff with The Flash, that's not the reason why people love The Flash. It's not because of rewriting time all the time. So it's a little exhausting, all of this rewriting time stuff, actually. My Kingdom, for him, battling some great, fun villains and just having a good time with Wally West again. Those comics are so worth your reading. And my recommendation for this show is go back and buy any of the Flash comics written by Geoff Johns, starring The Flash, Wally West. The tinkering that editorial and these film studios have done with trying to adapt the world has been very detrimental to how great the DC universe really is. I actually prefer it to Marvel in a lot of ways, and they just kind of keep scraping the bottom of the barrel. The initial plan for Ezra Miller's Flash was part of Zack Snyder's plan, which we all know is now dead. And the initial plan was Flashpoint as an adaptation. Flashpoint is a recent story, but a good one, written by Geoff Johns. It published by DC Comics, I don't know, probably a decade ago now or a decade and a half ago. But basically, the premise was that the Flash ends up changing things to save his mom, and he breaks the universe, which is the basic kind of premise here, and he creates a world without any superheroes to some degree. Everybody's doing something else, and everybody has a different part to play in the world. And we visit with Wonder Woman, and she's doing something different. We visit with Aquaman, and he's doing something different. And Cyborg's doing something different. And Batman, in particular, they had set this up. Jeffrey Dean Morgan, and I forget the name of the other actress, but they're two pretty big actors. They were cast to play Batman's mom and dad in the Batman versus Superman movie because they had planned to do Flashpoint, and they wanted Batman's dad to play Batman in Flashpoint, because in the alternate universe of Flashpoint, Bruce Wayne got killed and Thomas Wayne is Batman. So he's Batman, and then his wife actually is the Joker. And so they cast two good actors to set up that universe so that they could adapt that thing, which was cool, and that was world building, and that, you know, might have been nice. Here, though, we have a very not quite Flashpoint. So I'm just, you know, I try to be really open about these things, and I really like them, but I really like this movie, I'm saying. But there is a lot to say about it, and there are a lot of reasons why the fans and people didn't show up, and I really want to try to cover them all. So this is supposed to be an adaptation of Flashpoint, but it's not. I mean, really, on any level, what are we getting here?
Oh, well, there's an element in here in particular that's a bit of, what do you call it, stolen glory. It's supposed to be Superman who is rescued from that underground facility, and he's all shriveled and messed up. It would have been cooler if they saved Christopher Reeve's Superman and he came back for a movie and they did something with that. Or if they saved Nicolas Cage's Superman, and instead of having him CGI, they actually had him physically there and he's all weathered and he's something. We would have cared about that. That person doesn't mean anything to the audience. And in the trailers, that person doesn't mean anything to the audience. People were excited to see Michael Keaton when they saw the trailers, older people. But these older people also have gotten pretty good at boycotting things that they don't like. So plan number one, we're going to make Flashpoint. Plan two, delay the film. We don't know what we're going to do. Zack Snyder's movies aren't going over well, not well enough in particular. I actually looked at the numbers recently, and they were doing pretty good considering. They should have just tried to stay the course and tried to please the fans slowly over time. It would have been a way better plan than what they did, which was panic. Changing directors, script rewrites, and adjustments to the overall DC Extended Universe timeline. And because it's this Flashpoint movie, it's this time-changing movie, this movie could be used in any number of ways to do anything. So there were a lot of different things that were shot and cut and reshot because this movie was going to be integral to the film thing going forward. They started to see this as a way to fix things that the fans didn't like. And then they came up with this plan about gender-bending Batman and Superman, which I don't think is a plan the fans would like, especially with the dark-haired Supergirl. It's just because it's just unrecognizable to the fan base. Again, remember, it's about the braids. As the little girl said in my Little Mermaid video, or whatever video we were talking about, the Little Mermaid.
It was the Spider-Verse podcast.
Okay, so plan two, they delay the film. I think it's safe to say that whatever buzz that might have been created in 2018 has faded by the time the movie actually released in 2023, over 5 years later, when they couldn't delay any longer, and you know we finally got a movie, and the rewrites were going to be made, and they were going to do an all-female trinity. They were going to change Superman, change Batman, it's going to be all females, and they're going to switch the whole thing around like that. So yeah, this isn't a thing in the comics. This is really the thing of we're in the age of Hollywood doing whatever they want to do, and the audience can barely recognize what's being put out, and they're sort of aggravated that they don't feel like they're being heard or being catered to in any way, because who asked for this? They're like, oh, we'll do this, this, and this. Who asked for that? Who asked for any of these weird things that they're doing? Don't do things that have never been done. This has not been done. This Wonder Woman, Batgirl, Super, like,
and I mean, the three of them have never headlined a comic book together. This isn't something that's been tried and true, and the audience loves it, and we're like, oh man, we've been waiting years to see these stories brought to life. This is a totally new story that they're making up out of thin air, and it's nothing that anybody's asking for.
So anyway, when Warner Brothers was bought and sold and all the things that went on with Warner Brothers, I don't know exactly how to describe it, but they were looking at possibly writing The Flash off completely, because some of the problems that I'm going to get into in a little bit, there is a lot, and they needed tax write-offs, they needed to save money, and they could have just shelved this thing completely and we never would have seen it, which would have been a real shame because it's great. So here we are, plan five. James Gunn is hired to creatively curate the DC Cinematic Universe and, make a version of The Flash that gets cut together that will rock the foundations quite a little bit less and help set up a gentle reset or pivot to the new DCU now being created by Gunn and Peter Safran. So there's 11 essential problems that are getting in the way of this film's success here. They decided to release it. You know, they thought they could make some money on it. A lot of money was spent on this movie. Millions and millions and millions of dollars. And it is going to definitely lose money. But perhaps, maybe, this was already lost money anyway. And, you know, after taxes and stuff, they'll be glad about it. I don't know. But people didn't go see the movie, despite people in the audience who were yelling at me, Jesse, oh, you're being too hard on it. It was great. You know, like my dad who loved it, my girlfriend Julie who loved it. I think my mom loved it pretty good too. And like I said, I would say I loved it on a lot of levels. And in the future, I'll love it more. But because of all these things that I know about it, because it is my favorite character, and it's this invasion of the body snatchers thing when he takes off his mask and it's this black haired guy. And I didn't even like realize that until afterwards, but I just went, oh, that's not Barry. You know, Barry's blonde and doesn't look like Barry, and it's not Wally. Wally has red hair. So it's just like, I don't recognize the thing a lot of the times. The moments where I do recognize it, where I recognize the Flash running through the cities and the lightning going, I loved it. I loved that. It was great. The parts that brought to life the thing I love, I loved. Loved it. Here are the 11 existential problems getting in the way of this film's success. Problem number one, people didn't like Ezra Miller before his controversy. He's been accused of interacting with underage teenagers inappropriately, assaulting multiple people, and honestly, a lot of other weirdness that I will leave you to investigate on your own. I'm putting that all aside because I'm very much a, one, it's not my business, and clearly it's being handled, and innocent until proven guilty. But he doesn't crazy bother me as an actor. I think he's very talented, actually. I'm very surprised everybody seems to have kind of a negative opinion of him, but they do. The general consensus on him, especially amongst the boys, seems to be, we do not like this guy. They really don't like him. And I don't know if it's all purely because of the controversies that he's been in, or if they just find him really grating. Although, like I said, at the start of the Flash movie, going into some of the jokes that he was making, I was feeling like he was a bit lame myself. I was not loving it. It was just a little too, I don't know. But it didn't rub me good. I can say that much. So I going into the movie, I went, oh, I generally have liked him. Seeing the movie, I went, oh, yeah, I could understand why maybe people were a little annoyed by him. He was a little annoying. Yeah, but in general, I do like him. But that is problem number one. Problem number one is Ezra Miller. So that could easily be the reason why the boycott. Problem number two, Beta Barry. Yeah, I was saying earlier a little bit, you know, Barry is sharp. He has it all well in hand. He's a detective, a forensic scientist, but you know what I mean. They cast him as this like little, you know, because they're like, well, he's super fast. And like, you know, no, that's a member of the Teen Titans, not a member of the Justice League. And it is fun to see the Flash, and it is fun to see these things because it's like, oh yeah, it's kind of like when Kid Flash was on the Justice League, but that's not Justice League. If you read Justice League, there's no members of the Justice League who are acting like assholes, except maybe occasionally when Captain Marvel or Shazam shows up and he says something that like a kid would say, but it's always like sweet, not stupid. And oh, the stupidity of this character, you know, he makes something about sort of his mental health and not having access to treatment or something at some point. And all these things just sort of paint a person who's not a very strong man. And I don't know. I like strong male role models. I think we need strong male role models. And it's disappointing to see him portrayed this way. And I think it's kind of lazy too, because it's easy writing to just make somebody a buffoon. It's hard to make them clever, because you have to be clever yourself in order to write somebody as clever. He gets hit with a candy bar at one point in the movie. He literally like it bounces off his head, and it's just like this little like joke. He asks for a candy bar. 2 seconds later, he's forgotten all about that, and he gets hit in the head with the candy bar that the lady throws at him. Wouldn't it be cooler to have him very fast, right before it's about to hit him? Like, he almost gets hit with the candy bar. That's still funny. And he could be like, oh, and grabs it and then munches it up and goes, thank you, and heads off. And then you're like, oh, he's a nice guy and he's grateful and he's appreciative. No, he's stupid. That's the lesson we're supposed to learn from this Flash thing. Isn't what I just described a way to get the best of both worlds, to get that and also get more charm, more endearment to the character, interacting with people in a sweet way? This is stuff that, I'm sorry. I know I can't write every script. I'm going to end up sending a message to my audience that I'm this egotist who thinks I'm always right. But it's not like that. It's like there's like these loving fundamentals that you have to look for in order to honor the thing that you're doing, to do an honorable job of what it is that you do. And as a writer, what it is you're supposed to do essentially is the same thing that you do when you draw like a shape on a page, like on a blank piece of paper, and then you make pretty lines all around the shape. You know what I'm saying? Have you ever done that when you're just doodling and you have a drawing in the middle and then you just do all these accents on the outside? Every accent is unique to the shape of the paper, length of the movie or the format in which you're doing thing, movie, television, book, and what the shape of the thing that you're making is. Here are these lines and I fill all this empty space. That's what you're always doing. It's just, here's this thing and then I fill this empty space in the best way. And you're just always looking for the as many complements to what the shape of the thing is in the middle that you can have. And that's just it. That's good writing. To complement the main point of it all. Problem number three. Which Flash is this? Trying to be all the Flashes at once satisfies no one. The Flash isn't just a fast guy. Barry Allen is a character. Wally West is a character. They have two separate and distinct personalities. This guy isn't either. Ezra Miller's Flash is, for all intents and purposes, a brand new character. He does not act like Barry. He does not act like Wally. He doesn't look like them. He just stole the name. There's an existing personality, and this guy has neither. Problem number four, we had Zack Snyder's plan, but not enough of it. Muddy water. We got that girl playing Superman's part, which would have been very interesting as Superman, and they could have done it a lot of ways, which Superman was in that thing. But here we go. Oh, we're gonna play the game of dressing up the thing however we want, and them stupidly diluting their own brand recognition and our own, what's it called? When you latch onto something, we imprint on them. You know, we've imprinted on these visuals. These visuals make us go to the comic book store every week so we can see them again and see them again. We're seeing them again. We're just constantly seeing them. And then you want to show us something that doesn't look like the thing that we're seeing. It's just so crazy. Problem number five, the stain of the all-female Trinity. When news of the all-female Trinity plan leaked online, fans were not happy. Again, this is nothing that's ever been done in the comics. It's not what we're looking for. And we were already disappointed in so many of the things that had been done by Warner Brothers and put out by Warner Brothers thus far. They are so inconsistent, it's not funny. So I think it was a little bit of a last straw for fans. And I think were happy maybe when the Batgirl movie was canceled because it seemed like a turn away from that plan. Not happy that we would never get to see it and see Michael Keaton because I think we all kind of would still love to have seen the movie. But we liked the notion that, okay, they're not going to do that because we have no interest in seeing that. There's tons of stories that we'd love to see that we've been waiting all of our lives to see adapted onto the big screen. And you're going to do what? Is that a satisfactory reply to my request? Who asked for that? Who ordered this? Nobody ordered this. Send it back. Send this back to the kitchen. Problem six and seven. Six, we know you were thinking about eliminating the movie completely. Okay? The audience, well, at least the ones who, like me, who have been paying attention, we know that this movie almost got the Batgirl treatment. It was this close. So we know that not only do we know that it almost got a Batgirl treatment, we know that it's been in production hell, that it's been years since it's been announced. We know all the different problems you've been having with Ezra. We know all this stuff. It's a gossip. We knew that this movie had the potential to be really terrible, and we wanted to avoid that, it would seem. Because also problem seven, we know that it had absolutely no bearing on the future of James Gunn and Peter Safran's DC Universe franchise because it was created during the Zack Snyder period of time and just took a really long time to get out. So this is going to have no bearing on everything that they've been hyping up for the past year now. Okay, so we're getting into the hype machine, but this movie, and also, I think it's going to crash and burn. They're trying to say it's a big deal, but I think Blue Beetle, I think it's going to not do well. I don't think Blue Beetle's going to do well, even though it looks good, but he's a young character. There's a lot of reasons. I'll maybe talk about it another time, but my prediction is it's not going to do so well. But the main thing there is, again, this is part of the old regime. It's not part of the Peter Safran, James Gunn movie making, and I think people are like, all right, well, I'll wait for that, and I'll start with that. We'll give it another chance when that rolls around, as opposed to going, oh, yeah, I'm still in, and let's see how all this wraps up. People lost interest, and they didn't show up to the theaters. I guess that's the big thing. You know, this is a movie about an entire universe that the audience simply doesn't care about anymore. It's interesting because it's sort of a Crisis on Infinite Earths vibe, but it's just not quite big enough. You know, the cameos are all CGI, and they could have been beefed up significantly. I mean, can you imagine if Nicolas Cage... I don't mean to spoil. I'll just say there are some big cameos at the end where there are essentially these like little portals to other worlds that are like opening up for a second. And there was no reason why they couldn't have had all of these people who show up in these cameos fly into the universe and help him defeat the bad guys and have a big old ending featuring all of these characters from the films of DC's yesteryears and what other things that they wanted to. They could have did essentially the Avengers Endgame ending. It would have been great, very satisfying. People would have loved it. No reason not to have done more with those things. The reason why you like Tobey Maguire and whose name I'm always on the tip of my tongue. Yeah. Patrick Garfield? Nope. Andrew Garfield? Aha! Andrew Garfield's inclusion in the movies is because they are actually play a part in the movie, a real part in the movie. Zod here, they didn't bother explaining a lot of different things because they're like, well, you know the movie. And it's like, that movie was a while ago now, man. I think it would have been worth explaining. So... Oh, P.S. The CGI sucks. Oh, my God. They're constantly using VFX to put Ezra's face on one of the two Barrys because they're in almost every scene together. And it's very noticeable to me. Just all the time. You can just tell one guy's got a fake face on. Maybe I'm too critical. Okay, problem 8. Grant Gustin's series is literally 9 seasons of this same overarching story of Barry's mom being killed and dad having been framed for it. They squeezed about as much out of that story as they could. Flash fans said, been there, done that, got the t-shirt. I don't trust that you'll handle it any way that makes me excited. And the Flash's hair is brown. Because they're like, Grant Gustin, his hair is brown. The Flash's hair is brown. Hashtag Flash's hair is brown. that's what it would be. Because for those fans, that's the Flash. And again, this is what I talk about, the shared experience. And we're having less of a shared experience than we could. Problem 9. The Flash showing in Justice League did not set the world on fire and make the fans clamor for more. Even after the director's cut, fans still were undecided. The traditional approach to these things is we make something, and if you like it, we will eventually satisfy that interest by making you more of the thing you already liked. Modern Hollywood will greenlight a sequel now to a movie before the first one comes out because they think... if they make you think that they believe in the movie, you might be more likely to see it. But Hollywood has trained audiences, as they like to say, to not trust anything they do. That's what you've trained audiences to do, to just not trust you, not trust your promotion, not trust any of the trades, not trust what's said about anything. We just don't trust you anymore because there's so many ways to lie. Success is viewed as a happy accident in Hollywood, and they never learn the right lessons from their mistakes. And they never learn the right lessons from their failures. Problem 10, The Shine is off the rose. Warner Brothers has always been inconsistent. Marvel has lost their consistency as well, though, now. And the idea of most of these tentpole films based on geek culture properties being pretty good has been replaced with an idea that they mostly aren't so good. And let's all wait and see what people have to say about them. And it's important to note that this was not a guaranteed eventual outcome for superhero films, no matter what. Comics have lasted almost a century in publishing. They're not doing great at the moment, but still independent comics are great and doing great. Films have chewed up comics and spit them out in a quick 20-year renaissance, and then they're done because everybody's over comics now. No, we're over what you've done to them. It started off pretty good, or at least... the renaissance that happened with the Marvel Universe and things like Lord of the Rings and, you know, Peter Jackson's handling. And then what happened? Oh, my goodness. Anyway, audiences have been trained to assume the worst before assuming the better. Final problem? Hey, Spider-Man No Way Home was a huge hit. So why isn't this? Well, That one had two generations of Spider-Men, and those Spider-Men are at most 20 years old, and one of them only 10 years old. So essentially, you've got this generation Spider-Man with the two previous generation Spider-Man. But we got a Batman from over 30 years ago, and there have been 1, 2, 3, 4, and now 5 Batmans. So what is that? Who does that appeal to? The Flash appeals to a young audience. He's a Spider-Man-like character. He's a young guy. He's got a sense of humor. That should really be appealing to a young audience. But the young audience didn't show up because of all these other reasons that I talked about. And that Batman isn't really their Batman. They don't care. And that audience is like, ah, well, I'll stream it later or whatever else. Like, I'm sure the movie will probably do really well on streaming. But, oh, man. I mean, you know, it's like maybe word of mouth will get around and people will be really generally positive about it. And more people will go see it. We'll see. Also, Spider-Man gave all 3 Spider-Men that we know in one movie. So this is one Batman showing up that's like the most important one. I guess it's a big difference. So you can't exactly compare apples and oranges of how satisfying this is compared to that. Also, this one, you know, it's one old Batman making a guest appearance in a Flash movie, not in a Batman movie. It's in a Flash movie. And needless to say, people my age feel more connected to the Dark Knight, Christian Bale. And that means that this only really grabbing at the segment of the audience who's over 40. And when I saw that Super Bowl spot, I thought it was going to be a big hit. But honestly, I think that this return to Keaton's Batman is just too little too late. And I also think Warner Brothers has not engendered any trust from the audience that older fans were nervous that they might leave the theater with a bad taste in their mouth for something that they truly love and remember fondly. So not trusting Warner Brothers to handle Michael Keaton's Bruce Wayne Batman in a way that they would like, I think was a real worry. But I am here to say that Bruce Wayne is handled great. He's really handled well. He does make an explanation for why he's there in the movie and how time works and how when you change the past, when you change something in the past, you change that future and the past of that area. And that shit doesn't make any sense. I can't even repeat the explanation. It makes so little sense. There's so many things that I really don't love about it, even though I still think it's a strong outing on a lot of levels because I can appreciate it for what it is. But it is a really big blue sky beam kind of movie. That's become the term for these over-the-top endings. I really think something smaller with the Rogues that would have given Barry an opportunity to be a character and us to know him in a way as a human being before we do this super dramatic story with his mom and all this stuff. Again, I know kind of why some of these choices were made, and I think this was literally on the schedule because of flexibility, because, well, we can change things if the fans don't like it with Flashpoint. And, you know, that's a little bit of a weird way to be going into things in the first place. But for what this is, I think it's great. I think fans of The Flash should see it. It is definitely a weird amalgam of The Flash. It's kind of a Flash movie. And no, it is a Flash movie, but it's just not exactly one that you'll recognize if you're a Flash fan. But it's pretty darn cool. The inclusion of Michael Keaton's Batman is really cool. And the cameos that are in it are really cool. The energy of the film's really cool. It's not boring. It'll hold your interest and great popcorn movie. And you should go see it. Next week, I'll come back and I'm going to be talking about the other 25 coolest geek culture classics films of all time, and you can join me for that. In the meantime, I've got a letter from Red Witch 999. She writes, or I'm assuming, "Dear Coolest Geek, love the show. You're such a genuine guy, and clearly you love geek culture as much as I do." Oh, thank you so much. I do love geek culture. "And as a professional comic book writer, I'm sure you know quite a bit more than I do about making them. So, how would you go about making old school comic fans happy and the new pop comic culture people happy at the same time? Thanks for all the great contents. Stay cool. I mean, coolest, Red Witch 999. Ah, thank you. Thank you for writing, Red Witch. That's a cute letter. I will stay the coolest. I will stay the coolest. Yeah. How will I go about pleasing everybody all at once? Well, okay. Here's the thing, guys. First and foremost, we are all one. Some people have a hard time reading. Some people don't. The people who don't and the people who do are still ultimately more the same than they are not the same. These people who are reading and who are deciding that something is wonderful, they are doing a great service to those who don't read. And when we say, this is wonderful, those who don't read don't have to have it changed for them in order for them to like it, because we're the same. So all of this work is pre-approved. This notion that it needs to be improved upon is ludicrous. It needs to be lovingly curated and shepherded, perhaps sometimes dressed up a little shinier or made better and reinforced, but not reinvented. There's a lot of superficial culture that goes into making films in particular, and they go by trendiness. And that is the mistake. If you're doing geek culture, you can't go by trendiness. It's not about trendiness. It's about tried and true, already been decided. We like it. Just like this. Make it, and we will come. Right? You seen that movie Field of Dreams? Build it, and they will come. Make it, and we will come. Make it the right way. Give me a Wally West Flash that I recognize, and the comic book fans will come. This didn't mean anything to anybody who reads Flash comics. So all these years of making Flash comic books, all this promotion, meant nothing. You didn't adapt anything that has anything to do with anything we've read. You know, you wonder why it's not doing so well. I mean, the audience is sniffing this stuff out. So you gotta just honor the fact that the geek audience is the same as the mainstream audience, and anything the geek audience likes, the mainstream audience will like too. And maybe things could be tweaked, but largely things should remain the same. So I talked about this already when we were talking about Spider-Verse and Little Mermaid and geeks not being racist. I love The Muppet Show. And I realized that my favorite thing about The Muppet Show was essentially it was all different races. There's frogs and bears and chickens and all these different people. And literally there's a Gonzo. He's a weirdo. He's just a weirdo. He's just uniquely different. This different animal and that different animal and that different thing. And, you know, and then this uniquely different and all these uniquely different monsters. You know, there are lots of monsters. That's a space of diversity. I love diversity. I've enjoyed the X-Men because I love diversity. There's a moment in The Muppets Take Manhattan where Kermit is backstage and he's being asked if all of the other Muppets have brought friends of theirs. They all went away and they met people and they've come back with some of their people, their families, their new friends. And there's, you know, 100 different Muppets waiting to see the show. They want to get in on opening night. And Fozzie Bear says, "Hey, Kermit, can our friends watch the show from backstage?" And Kermit says, "What? No." And he says no because it's been set up that the show's missing something and he doesn't know what it's missing. And when he's asked this, he goes, "No, they cannot watch the show from backstage. That's it. That's what's been missing from the show. That's what we need. More frogs and dogs and bears and chickens and whatever. You're not going to watch the show. You're going to be in the show. Come on, everyone." This is the single most inspiring, sweet moment of my young life. That's the world I want to live in. Come on, everyone. We need more frogs and more bears and more chickens. We need more heroes, more characters. Stop destroying the ones that they made. They made all these good things that stand for good things, and you're destroying them. And they're losing all their meaning. And if you want to add yourself, add yourself. There's room. There's room for more frogs and bears and chickens. There's room for more heroes. How do you please everybody? You honor the past and you're additive in the future. That's it. Just open the doors. The solution is more. More. Not a rewriting of the past. If you forget the past, you're doomed to repeat it. Let's change and evolve and grow. Let's add to the tapestry of these beautiful mythologies and not trample all over them. It's moments like that from the Muppets. They had a real depth and richness, and the show was about taking care of each other. Even though we're different, and even though we have completely different goals, and supporting each other and supporting each other's goals, that's the world. That's the world we got to live in support of the things, not in condemnation of those around us, and not living self-righteously and in judgment of everybody else. Live and let live. That's the way. I want as many of us to make it to the other side unscathed, happy, healthy, as humanly possible. As somebody who has suffered on any level, and you know, I don't compare my suffering to anybody else, but you know, I got hit by a car when I was a child, and I've spent a lot of my life in a lot of pain, and it sucks enough that you get to a point where you just say, I don't want to see anybody suffer. And we need heroes to inspire us and pull us out of this rut, because I know, unfortunately, that we're living in a world of a lot of depression and a lot of anxiety and a lot of suffering, the same way that I've experienced it and my sister's experienced it and so many people out there do. You know, it's a tough place that we live in, and you know, I think comparing our struggles is not the best medicine. Being able to recognize that we're all in it together and try to learn from each other and grow together as opposed to grow apart. I think that's the mission. Let's come together. Let's be additive. Let's all be a part of each other's lives and existence. Anyway, that's all I've got for today on The Coolest Geek Alive. Write me at jesseblaze@jessesnyder.com, or you can write me at coolestgeekjbs on Twitter and hit me up there. Anyway, I'm your host, Jesse Blaze Snyder, and I love you. I would love for you to go to Kickstarter right now and type in King of Kings number one and sign up for notifications. It's going to be going live in another, I don't know, week or two. And I'm really excited to show that to you guys. Really excited for my summer with my kids, watching these classic geek films and bringing their reviews to you so you can see what the new generations think of the stuff that we love so much. I'm excited to do it with them. Life is good. Anyway, I hope your life's good out there wherever you are. Thank you so much for listening, and join me again next week for another fabulous episode of The Coolest Geek Alive. You've been listening to Coolest Geek Alive with me, your host, Jesse Blaze Snyder.
Isn't it heavy?
Don't forget to rate, comment, and subscribe for more excellent geek culture content. Thanks for listening.
I'll play that.
It's gonna be freaking awesome. Coolest Alive. It's gonna be freaking awesome. Stay with your tribe. It's gonna be freaking awesome. Revenge of the Geeks. It's gonna be freaking awesome. Week after weeks. It's gonna be freaking awesome. Laughing with you. It's gonna be freaking awesome. And crying sometimes too. It's gonna be freaking awesome. Spilling it out. It's gonna be freaking awesome. Making you shout. Freaking awesome. Talking some shit. It's gonna be freaking awesome. Living legit. It's gonna be freaking awesome. Food in our mouth. It's gonna be freaking awesome. Getting them out. It's gonna be freaking awesome. Tell all your friends. It's gonna be freaking awesome. Call right our text. It's gonna be freaking awesome. Raising the bar. It's gonna be freaking awesome. Straight to the stars. It's gonna be freaking awesome.
awesome! Friggin' awesome! It's going to be friggin' awesome! Just wait! You'll see! You'll all see!